their secret mountain lair somewhere in Colorado. This is the Image Doctors Photography Podcast with your hosts, Jason Odell and Rick Walker.
Hey, I'm Jason Odell.
And I'm Rick Walker.
And this is the Image Doctors Photography Podcast. Welcome back to the program. How are you doing, Rick?
I am doing just fine.
Good to see you. Today, let's see what's been going on of late. We're waiting for the leaves are already changing here in Colorado in some places. I heard you took a little trip up, but they were up to the high country.
Yeah, my wife and I went up to hike on a trail called the Crags Trail, which is, if someone wants to look on a map, it's kind of in between Divide, Colorado, and Cripple Creek. And it's a neat trail that is a couple miles each way, maybe a little bit more than that, climbs about 700 feet. But the cool thing is it puts you at this overlook that's about, it's at about 10,800 feet. And it's just a panoramic view. The Crags formation is sort of on the side of Pikes Peak in a way. That's sort of one way to think of it. That's not exactly accurate, but kind of. But it was great. And the only problem was the trees all still had green leaves on them.
Yeah, so you go back. Or it's good to get
They seem to be going quickly this year. Yeah, what I've heard last week is they're turning rapidly.
Yeah, it's been a strange, as with everything else in 2020, it's been a strange year.
Yeah, so, as you know, I'm heading up to the Grand Teton and Yellowstone area tomorrow.
Yeah, cool.
My hunch is the Tetons will be a little bit past their prime, but, you know, it'll be all right. It's a great place no matter what.
Yeah, you'll be happy, right? It's all good. Yeah, this is a little early for it, but it happens sometimes. Especially with the different elevation changes. Yeah. Well, go ahead. No, I was just going to say we've got a fun topic today that was suggested to us by one of our listeners over on our Facebook page. So we're going to go with that. But before we do that, was there anything else that you were going to say?
No, I was going to say exactly the same thing. This is one of those challenges with recording remotely.
Oh, okay. Well, I see you there in the window. It's like we can talk. Not quite the same as being in the same room.
Nope.
Well, we got a question. Well, we have a question from one of our longtime listeners, Bruce Smith. I seem to recall Bruce having listened to this show for a really long time. He wanted to know how to deal with all this smoke and haze that these fires out in the western part of the U.S. is creating.
It's and real, Canada.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Like British Columbia is having problems in the southern part of the province.
California, Oregon, Washington. We've got fires here in Colorado, plus there's other ones in a lot. I mean, there's smaller ones in other western states out here in the U.S. And, you know, it's a real challenge to deal with that. So we thought we would spend our episode today talking about what to do with this kind of condition.
Yeah, and first and foremost, just to be really, really clear, talking about how to photograph in that situation is very much a first world kind of problem. I mean, the destruction and death that this is causing is horrible. And just like, you know, within Colorado, we've been dealing with it, it seems like every year for years now, horrible fires. And, you know, in the case of where both of us live here in Colorado Springs, I mean, normally you see the mountains and the foothills, you know, just beautifully. I mean, they're just crisp and clear and wonderful and get snow on them as it gets into this time of year. The fires have been, the smoke from the fires have been so bad that some days you couldn't even see the outline of them.
Yeah, it's been awful.
I mean, and just looking down your street, you see the smoke and the haze. It's horrible. And it looks like Bruce was recently in Canyonlands because he posted a photo that he took there at one of the overlooks with it's like a Z50. And the haze is just super, super strong. And So it is an interesting thing to work around or decide what to do. And we do have some thoughts.
Yeah, we have some thoughts. I'm trying to think of like other times that I've seen haze this bad. I mean, I lived in Southern California and know about that. And there was one time I went way 18 years ago now or so, I went to Shanghai, China once, and their pollution was as bad as what, not as bad as what the folks in Oregon have been experiencing. I have relatives in Oregon. It's just been unbelievably awful. So I think, looking at Bruce's photo, this is Canyonlands. This is the classic, landscape vista, the huge, heroic landscape shot. I think, I think you have to reset your expectations a little bit for how you're approaching something. I mean, it really depends on your circumstances, I think. I mean, if it's you're planning a photo trip, there are resources you can go to online and actually see the where the smoke patterns are. I found some websites where you could look at air quality and visibility and smoke, stuff, to really ask yourself, okay, do I want to go there, right? Is this the best time to go there versus a trip where you're already planning to be there? Like you're going to be going to the Tetons no matter what. You may have to deal with smoke. So, what, for example, how are you approaching that? Because it's a very possibility, it's a distinct possibility that you'll be getting some of that.
And in my own case, my wife and I are going to spend a couple nights in Jackson and then about 4 nights in inside Yellowstone at the Old Faithful complex. And then we have, a little bit on the way there and back. Yellowstone, I think, will be fine because it's just different, than the Tetons. It's a little bit tighter landscapes, and a lot of things that you want to photograph are up a little bit closer. So my theory is Yellowstone won't be impacted as much photographically. The Tetons, it could be a mess. It could be okay. It depends on when fronts come through and clear stuff out temporarily. I mean, we've seen that here. You have days that are awful and then a day that's just glorious. So we'll see. But I'm trying to not expect a lot. And what I'm planning to do is focus more on wildlife. That hopefully isn't too far away. Ideally some moose. You can usually see it up in Grand Teton and elk and stuff like that, and have fun with that, and potentially not do a whole lot of landscape stuff. And that's okay. I think you remember a thing that one of our good friends Eric Bowles and I did a few years ago at the Badlands, where we were up there scouting and stuff, and we just it was just so horrible because of West Coast fires that we kind of did a pivot and put our whole focus on wildlife for the most part. A little bit of landscape that was closer to us, but more so wildlife. So that's part of it. And sometimes you just get what you get and you can't worry too much about it. It's not always going to be successful. It's not a video game, Nature is what it is.
I would sort of echo that, because obviously I was very concerned about the smoke up in South Dakota when I was just there a month ago, with on my workshop group. And what happened for us is, and this is one of the reasons why when I lead a workshop, it's always 3, 4, 5 days worth, right? It was very smoky in the beginning of the week when I arrived. I mean, just very smoky to the point where, yeah, what you were talking about, prairie dogs became very, very appealing subjects at that point,
I remember Eric and I photographing a lot of prairie dogs. Fortunately, we had better things, also at times.
By the first night that we went out, pretty hazy. So I deliberately took us to a location where I knew there were some close-up formations, where we would just be near. And then we kind of got the orange ball of sunset. It was bad, but it wasn't, I don't think it was as bad as when you were there a few years ago.
Right. I don't think so either,
But
based on
we
my
worked with it. And one of the things, you can get some pretty darn cool orange sunsets and sunrises when there's smoke in the air. So that can make for some interesting shots of the sun itself. You do those telephoto shots. That's something to do. The next day it rained and a front came through, and fortunately for us, by the next evening, the following evening and morning, it cleared out. It got really windy, but it cleared out completely. So just a few days late, 2 days later, from the time I arrived to the time that we were on the workshop, we actually got a couple of good evening and morning shoots. And this is because, fortunately for us, I mean, the wind patterns shift. We're in South Dakota, the fires were not. So we weren't getting smoke from something that was very close by. So a major weather pattern event shift, can change that. Now, that would be different if we were in, say, Oregon or California or something like that,
Sure.
where there were actually were, the fires were nearby. That's a very difficult thing. And the other thing to do is, I suppose, one of the things that Bruce asked us in his post was, what if you've got the shots? Is there ways to process them or, to deal with? We've joked about the dehaze slider in Lightroom, and I think while that's a great tool, I think it's not going to help you much with the smoke. It might clear things up a little bit, but if it's smoky, it's smoky. So I mean, I think your first line of defense is just to really change your approach to the kinds of subjects you want to shoot, because you're
Yeah.
really not going to get those vistas if it's socked in. Now, you can do that and just say, I mean, there's, historical documentation reasons for getting some shots anyway, just to show what it was like. I mean, I think that's valid, right?
Yeah, and I think there is a point, and also it's in that same documentary vein, but take some shots using a moderate telephoto, something in the 85 to 200 millimeter range, compress the scene a little bit and make the smoke really show,
Right.
in the same way that you saw it when you were there. It may not seem exciting right now, but it could be an important thing to have documented, either just for yourself or things that you don't even know about in the future. So
Right.
maybe try to do some shots that are good in other respects, but don't hide the smoke. Don't make it
You're not
go
going to get
away.
rid of it, right? You're not going to get
No,
rid of it.
no.
I mean, now
And
you could go
indeed,
with monochrome, right?
you could. And that's
You're
less
still going
like.
to see the smoke, but the photo might be more aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah. And we talked briefly about the dehaze. If you use it globally, you have to be really careful. When I use it globally, man, I use like maybe 5, maybe 10 at the most, because you push it past that point, and don't take those as exact amounts because it depends on the photo. But if you go past that, it just gets really ugly looking and really weird. And
Yeah.
I've seen people do that, and it doesn't work.
Blues
So
get
I think,
really dark and
yeah, just.
just strange.
Yeah, the blacks get all blocked up and it just doesn't work. If you use it locally, in just certain portions of the photo, you can go a bit higher. And if it's a scene that's a bit closer to you, dehaze can actually potentially work. If it's something that's a matter of a few hundred feet from you as opposed to miles, like he was having to deal with in Canyonland. So it wouldn't eliminate it, but you got to be careful how you use it. And I think your black and white idea is a good one. That can extend the range of photos that you can make in situations like that. I'll have to remember it for the Tetons.
Sometimes, it's good to force yourself into that kind of thing. I mean, I needed
But
to.
I love black and white, so it's not a
Yeah,
hard
no,
thing.
I was doing some black and white. You know, it's we were, you know, we didn't talk about this at the beginning of the show, but I went out on over the weekend. I just needed to get out of the house, right? And so I went downtown to downtown Colorado Springs, which, you know, it's okay. It's not like huge city or anything
It's
like that,
not
but
Manhattan.
no, but I decided I was going to force myself to take my own recommendations, things that we've talked about in the past, and just force myself to do. So I walked around with my Z7 and the 50 millimeter prime.
Ooh.
And that's it. That's all I had.
Cool.
I,
Cool.
you know, and there were some, and there's a lot of people looking at cell phones and wearing masks. So I said, I tried to be stealthy and take some pictures, street captures. I probably would have liked a longer lens for that, for people in the park. But I walked around and I took some architecture stuff, and I just looked for things to photograph. And a lot of them, I decided I'm going to make them black and white, and I did it really, really simple. I didn't even really want to screw around with fancy processing much. So, I mean, I did use Silver Effects, but I just kind of used the Tri-X preset, for example. I just went with, to get a little bit of that grain, a little bit of that contrast, and just go with it and make it look like street photography might have been with a film camera. And it was okay, it was good, but it was a way to clear my head. So, I mean, just talking about needing to reevaluate the subject matter. I mean, I don't think of myself as a street photographer at all, right? I mean, and I know that's something that you really don't do either.
But I do on occasion. I just,
Yeah, but it's
I
just that
know it won't be good.
it's right. Well, yeah, there's that. It's forcing myself to do some stuff and walk around with my camera, and I will say, being able to flip out the LCD and shoot from the hip that way is kind of a way to not get noticed.
It's brilliant. Yeah.
People just think you're looking at the back of your camera, not actually taking a picture. So
Yeah.
that's kind of a cool one. But it's been interesting. But I think that's the key. When you're dealing with conditions that are truly, truly challenging like this, you have to be able to pivot to something that maybe wasn't your original planned
Right.
subject.
And I'll give you one idea related to that. And this is something that, can potentially, hopefully our listeners can potentially use in some way if they're in the Western US or other places with fires. I mean, God knows there are plenty of fires that have happened in Australia and other places too that have been horrific. But, my wife and I have a membership to the local zoo, and it's a cool little zoo that's on the side of one of the mountains around here, foothills. It's called Cheyenne Mountain Zoo, and it's kind of nice because it's a good place to go for a walk. There's some pretty good elevation changes, so you get your heart rate up a bit and all that kind of stuff. And I'll often take a camera with me just for fun, and I'll come away with some really bad photos of animals for the most part. It's not the best zoo for taking photographs. It's okay. But it is a nice zoo in other respects. Well, what I've found in the last few weeks with all the smoke in the air is when you go there early in the morning, which we do, we get there at about 8, because we can go there in there before it opens. The morning light coming from the east and coming through the smoky air creates the most glorious, warm, soft light. I have never gotten better photographs of giraffes and other things than I have in the last few weeks. I mean, they're awesome.
That's
They're
great.
just because you know how harsh the light is
Oh,
here
yeah,
frequently.
it really is. It's brutal. And if you don't get any clouds, it can be painful. That's one of the reasons why I haven't done a lot of photography at our local zoo, because every time I've done it, it's been very, very disappointing. Because
It's
for a
hard.
lot of that reason, and some of it's just the way it's laid out. Like you said, it's a great zoo. Love their exhibits for the most part, but it's difficult to photograph in there.
Yeah. But that's just one thing that is actually a benefit photographically, is that kind of lighting, that kind of day. So just something to think about. It can be surprising. And similarly, it can be a good time to take photos of people outdoors, just because you end up with this very nice diffused light, which we don't normally get.
That's true.
So there is a potential upside to it.
Very good. Well, anyway, hopefully, Bruce, this answers your question. Hopefully that helps. And we really want to thank our listeners for submitting your questions and your podcast topics to us. So if you've got one for us, head over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/imagedoctors, and we will gladly, even if we don't use a topic on the air, we almost always reply to your questions on our Facebook page. So
yeah, and one other thing is, we may not use it immediately on the air. We'll look for a time where it slides in with other things well too. So don't think we're ignoring you if we don't do something immediately on it.
There you go. Okay, well, until next time, we will see you, and happy shooting.
All right, bye-bye.